Hello and welcome back to another episode of Listen to Less. I'm going to be honest with you guys. This week, I've been struggling so badly with, I've been saying a migraine. I don't really think it's a full migraine. I think it's a tension headache plus a sinus headache. And I think the time change happening, the seasons changing, plus sometimes I am prone to get tension headaches. Like all of them are colliding, and this week has been a little bit rough. So I'm going to try to keep this episode a little bit short because today's honestly the first day I've been able to like reschedule the calls I've had to cancel all week and talk more long form. I've been canceling a lot of the things that require me to be sitting and staring at my screen and talking a lot just because my head's been pounding to say the least, and it's not been fun. So I'm going to try to keep this episode a little bit shorter. Today, we're going to talk about what labs you should potentially think about getting if you want to start having kids in the next couple of years. Okay. So I actually found some very interesting research where it was talking about women that get off of birth control, how long on average it takes them to conceive. And this is the average woman. Of course, there's cases where, and you may even be a case yourself where you're listening and you're like, it didn't take me long at all. Like it was so easy. I first time trying got pregnant, but they compared groups of women that had never been on birth control to those that had been on birth control. And the women that had never been on birth control, it took them about 4 months to get pregnant after, like when they started trying. But then the group that was on birth control for long-term use, which was classified as 2 years or longer, it took them upwards of 8 to 12 months. So going back to what I talked about last week, definitely consider getting off birth control a year prior to when you want to start having kids. And then I would also look into getting some of these labs done, maybe like 6+ months before you start trying as well. Our current medical system is very reactive, where don't do anything, like don't change anything until you have a symptom and then come in and we'll treat you there. And we obviously, that's like how we need to approach a lot of things. Like don't come in here for a broken arm until you break your arm, right? But in terms of things like fertility, I think we need to be more proactive instead of so reactive, because you see all the time doctors say, well, don't come to me unless for help until you've been trying for a year. Yes, we see that if you get off birth control, it can take upwards of a year for that to happen. But what I see happen in front of me is women are trying, but they just got off the pill. They didn't really do anything. They didn't really test anything to see like what needs help over the course of that year. Then they go to their doctor after a year, and then that's when they run labs, and then they start working on their health. And then it's 2-3 years since they get off the pill before they can get pregnant. So what if we can condense that timeline by being more proactive? And that's what I'm trying to do for you today, is just to provide you information that you can make an informed decision with and do what you want with that information. Okay. None of this is medical advice. I am not your practitioner. I am not a doctor. I'm not telling you what to do. It's just to provide general information that you could find on the internet yourself if you looked. And I'm just condensing it into a podcast episode for you. Okay. So let's talk about blood labs to consider getting before you try to get pregnant. So when should you get labs? If you were on birth control and you got off, you should definitely wait 3 to 4 months after getting off before you get any sort of hormonal sex hormone blood work done. You could get you could get everything you wanted to test except sex hormones sooner. Like you can even do that while you're on birth control. But if you're wanting to test sex hormones, you need to wait 3 to 4 months until after you've stopped birth control to test your sex hormones. Okay. This allows time for your body to kind of do its thing after stopping the synthetic hormones, and also enough time to start ovulating and for those synthetic hormones to kind of get out of your system, okay? Because if you test sex hormones immediately after you get off, you may see numbers that in 2 to 3 months are completely different because you just did it too close to when you were actively taking birth control. So 3 to 4 months post birth control, if you're not on birth control or you haven't been for a while and you want to start conceiving, I would just do it now. Like if your timeline is in it, you want to start trying now, or you want to start trying in a year, I would definitely do it now. If maybe you want to start trying, I would say even if you want to start trying in 2 to 3 years, why wait? Why not work on things now so that when you do start trying, you are ready and you don't have to delay things because certain labs come back abnormal. Okay. If you do decide to get blood work done and you are going to test sex hormones, you do need to make sure that you are doing this at the correct time of your cycle. If you have a regular cycle, then I would listen to my last podcast episode about how to track ovulation so that you can pinpoint ovulation and then you can go get labs done 5 to 7 days after you ovulate. This is using LH test strips and basal body thermometer to track your ovulation. If you do not know when you're ovulating, listen to my last episode, start tracking it, and then you will know. And if you don't have a cycle or your cycles are extremely irregular, if you can try to go into your luteal phase, then do that. But if you don't know when that's going to be, you have no clue, there's no rhyme or reason to your periods, then I would just go any day and get a baseline for where you're at. Time of day, because of some of the labs I'm going to suggest, you want to go in the morning after a 12-hour fast, only consuming water. So essentially just go in the morning, stop eating dinner at like by 8 p.m., and then you can go get your labs at 8 a.m. I would not suggest fasting for longer than 14 hours, as longer fasts can actually skew some of the lab results. So I would try to go within a like 12 to 14 hour fasting window in the morning, like before you go to work or something like that. Okay. So now let's talk about what labs I suggest that you get. So I'm going to discuss several different panels and labs. And what I want you to know is some of these directly affect your fertility and some of them indirectly affect your fertility. For example, liver enzymes on a complete metabolic panel. High liver enzymes do not equal infertility. However, high liver enzymes indicate there's deeper stuff going on, potential fatty liver, potential toxic burden, toxic overload. There are other things that these blood markers like high liver enzymes could indicate that then cause sex hormone imbalances. So it's some of these I'm going to talk about. It's not this equals infertility, but this equals a domino effect that could impact your fertility. Or some of these are just root cause to your sex hormones being out of balance, right? A lot of times when people do hormone or like fertility lab testing, they just test their sex hormones and then, okay, your sex hormones are out of whack. You've got low estrogen, low progesterone, high testosterone, but why? So let's look at some of the other labs that can tell us, paint the picture as to why your labs look like that. Why do your sex hormones look like that? So we can complete the puzzle, right? So I also want to say, I'm just going to give you straight up facts here today with these iron, like if this blood panel is high or low, this impacts ovulation or this impacts your ability to get pregnant. I'm going to be very like blunt with that, but just know, like, I don't want any of this to scare you because these are highs and lows I see routinely in blood work, and routinely my clients that come to me with these labs get pregnant once we've worked on these things through diet, nutrition, lifestyle, habits, targeted supplementation, and like sleep and hydration. So a lot of these things you can fix. They're not terminal illnesses. They're not diseases. They're just wonky metrics that if you change how you're living, you can change these metrics to then get pregnant. Okay. So number one is an iron panel. I would definitely get an iron panel done, including ferritin. If you get any sort of marker in your iron panel done, let it be ferritin, because if iron or ferritin are too low, this can indicate that you have something called anemia. Anemia is a condition where the body doesn't have enough healthy red blood cells to carry adequate oxygen to its tissues. So this can lead to problems with your menstrual cycles and even ovulation, both making your cycle irregular, maybe even your cycle goes missing, or impacting your ability to actually ovulate, okay? A lot of women tend to have low ferritin and low iron. A lot of women are scared to eat red meat. A lot of women I work with, they come to me previously being vegan or vegetarian, or they're okay eating like chicken and turkey, but they just get icked out with red meat. And so they're typically really low in iron because they're not eating animal protein like red meats and beefs or other foods that are high in iron, animal-based foods, and then they end up being anemic. So this may be something that if your iron or ferritin is low, you may need to consider eating meat again. You know, I'm not going to get into that, the ethics and whatnot about that. That's a conversation you can have with yourself and how that makes you feel. I'm just talking about from a scientific standpoint. This is what we see, and this is why a lot of vegetarian and vegan individuals tend to have a lot of deficiencies, one of which being iron and vitamin A, because we get most of those in their most adequate, or not adequate, bioavailable form from animal-based foods and proteins and fats, okay? So that's number one, is iron. Number two is thyroid hormones. So there's a couple different, of course, you want to get a full thyroid panel. I've talked about this in the thyroid episode of season two. So go back and listen to that if you haven't. But particularly free T3, if that is too low, this is going to play into the state of your overall metabolic health. So your overall metabolism. So if your metabolism is running a little low, a little slow, and it's showing up in your blood work with low free T3, this is going to impact your ability to ovulate. This can even make your cycle disappear. This is a downregulation of your metabolism. And when your metabolism is downregulated, that impacts your sex hormones as well. Okay. So that's something to consider. But then also know that in order to see what your free T3 is doing, you and why your free T3 is there, you should probably get your TSH, free T4, and reverse T3 tested as well. Because sometimes TSH and T4 can be normal, free T3 is low, and reverse T3 is really high. And then you know it's a conversion issue, okay? So it's important to get a full panel done. And these are things that a lot of practitioners don't actually order. T3 and reverse T3, they only order TSH and T4. So you need to very much specify that you want all of those metrics, not just say a thyroid panel. Secondary in a thyroid panel is TPO and TGAB. These are autoimmune panel or markers that tell you if you have something called Hashimoto's. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune condition, and it's very common in women. In fact, it's the leading cause of hypothyroidism. And it will and can impact your fertility. Same thing with like most autoimmune conditions. If you do have an autoimmune condition, you are at a higher risk for infertility or carrying to full term just because of your immune system's kind of like on, it's turned on all of the time and kind of attacking certain things within your own body. So it does make pregnancy a little bit more high risk. And that's something that you would want to get checked out so that you can kind of course correct that and get support so that when you do start trying, you know what you're going into this with, right? I know that, a little side tangent here, I know the feeling of wanting pregnancy to not be, you just want it to happen naturally without thinking about it, without planning and whatnot. And maybe I would feel the same way. In fact, I did feel the same way initially before I worked in functional nutrition, but seeing how much goes into the health of your egg, the health of your partner's sperm, and then the ability for that egg to turn into an embryo, and then for that embryo to grow in the duration of the entire pregnancy to create this human. This is going to be a controversial thing, but I almost think it's a little bit selfish to not take good care of yourself before getting pregnant, because that can actually impact your child's development and your child's life. Not in all cases, and I'm not putting any sort of judgment or blame out there for any sort of predicament. But the more that I learn about the actual science of, like, take out religion, take out God, take out the miracles, the science of how we create human life, both you and your partner, your health is so important to be in a good place on all facets, so that the sperm and the egg are both in good health to then create a healthy child. So I think that, like, some people will say I'm crazy for wanting to do all this testing and for paying so much attention to, like, what I'm eating and what I'm doing and cleaning out toxins and whatnot. But it's not crazy at all. Actually, if you look at the research, it's like what I believe everyone should be doing in order to have the best chances of success, the healthiest pregnancy, and the healthiest babies. So this may come off as, like, very intense, like, oh my God, there's so many things, like, this is so much, I just want it to happen naturally, I don't want to think about any of this. And I get that, but that's kind of naive when you could actually look at all of this and then improve your health, improve your partner's health, so that you both are going into this the healthiest versions of yourself, so that you, your husband, and your baby that you're creating are all, like, given the best chances of a healthy and happy life. You know what I mean? Okay. Tangent done. So we talked about thyroid. Next, let's talk about insulin. High levels of insulin are seen in both PCOS women, but also women without PCOS. And high levels of insulin can actually impact your ability to ovulate. Even if you don't have PCOS, you can still have high insulin, and that would just lead you down the route of potentially developing type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, etc. But having high insulin can impact your ability to ovulate in the first place, meaning it can eventually lead to infertility if your insulin is a factor in your, like, inflammation and your stress levels within your body that prevent you from ovulating regularly. It can also impact egg quality, because we do know that high internal stress and high inflammation will impact the quality of your eggs and the quality of your egg. Your egg has to be healthy and have the perfect chromosomal makeup in order for it to be fertilized and then make it into the next stages of pregnancy. And if a lot of times, actually, our eggs are not of good quality, and that's why it takes several months to get pregnant, because you may have ovulated, the sperm may have met the egg, but either the sperm wasn't healthy enough or the egg wasn't healthy enough to actually move past that. In fact, most miscarriages actually happen before a woman even realizes it, because the egg didn't really make it past fertilization. It was maybe fertilized, but in those steps that happen in the 2-week process from ovulation to when you would have gotten your period or when you do get your period, you may have lost that egg without even realizing it, because one or both parts were not healthy enough. So your egg health and egg quality is also very important, and high levels of insulin can impact that. Next would be testing cortisol. I would test it in the morning if you're going to do it in blood. Blood's not the best way to test your cortisol. The best way would be doing something like a Dutch test with, where you're going to do a salivary test and a urine test for metabolites. But you can test one marker in your blood in the morning if you're doing a blood panel to see upon waking, like, is your cortisol in range? Is it too high? Is it too low? And both of these levels, if it's too high or too low, can indirectly impact your sex hormones. This is another one where it's not high cortisol or low cortisol equals infertility, but it equals a domino effect throughout the rest of your body that leads to high or low sex hormones that then leads to infertility. So checking out your morning cortisol isn't a bad idea. To see, you know, what's going on there. And if you have really low cortisol, you'll probably have lower sex hormones as well, which does play into infertility. Next is cholesterol. And I'm not going to talk about high cholesterol. I'm actually going to talk about low cholesterol, which is never talked about. And you never hear that your cholesterol can be too low, but it can be. And it's crazy to me that on a conventional lab, your cholesterol, like, technically a normal value would be zero, but, like, I don't think we'd be doing very well if our cholesterol was a zero, okay? So our sex hormones, or steroid hormones, actually, so cortisol as well, is made from cholesterol. If you look at the web of how our hormones are made, the original thing that our hormones come from, our steroid hormones, is cholesterol. If you don't have cholesterol, you're not making your hormones. If you're not making your hormones, you're not getting pregnant, right? So it's not that low cholesterol equals infertility, but if you have low cholesterol levels, low HDL, low LDL, yes, low bad cholesterol, low total, low triglycerides, then that can be a potential root cause as to why you have lower sex hormones or lower steroidal hormones like your cortisol. And that will definitely impact your fertility. Next, we have vitamin D, a complete metabolic panel, and a complete blood count. So I lumped these three together because, well, vitamin D is one metric, but a CMP and a CBC, those are panels with several different markers looking at your adrenal health, your kidney health, your liver health, and your immune system. And you can even, there's even markers to look at like your white blood cells versus your red blood cells. And you can even look at signs of anemia if you don't have an iron panel in your CBC. So I add these because those are just, when you go to get routine blood work, that's typically what your doctor is going to order. Maybe they order a vitamin D, maybe not, but oftentimes they do. And if there's issues with like your liver enzymes or your adrenal function or your immune function, that obviously can play a downstream effect into some of your other hormones and the other markers. So it's always good to just look at that and even see like your glucose, which is included in there, and vitamin D, lower vitamin D, more inflammation, other issues arise. So it's always good to just get those panels done as well. And then let's go into sex hormones. So obviously, I think it's a good idea to test sex hormones before you try getting pregnant because we need sex hormones to get pregnant, right? So testosterone, we do need it in women, but if you have too much testosterone, such in cases of PCOS, this can disrupt your ability to ovulate or have regular menstrual cycles. So I am looking to do an entire PCOS episode with PCOS and fertility. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk way more about this, but high testosterone can impact your fertility or your ability to ovulate. Then, of course, we have estrogen, both estradiol or estrone. If these levels are too high or they're too low, this is going to impact your ability to ovulate and even carry a pregnancy. We have progesterone, which we know is required to conceive. So if you are not ovulating or you have a shorter luteal phase, your chances of getting pregnant do decrease. And low progesterone levels is also one of the leading causes of first trimester miscarriage because you need very high amounts of progesterone to hold that pregnancy. So if you do not have enough progesterone, you, one, will struggle to conceive and then could struggle to keep that pregnancy. So why not test your progesterone to see what's your progesterone looking like before you start trying for kids? And then we have FSH and LH. These two, I did talk about like getting all of these labs done 5 to 7 days post ovulation. FSH and LH, you do typically get done on day 3 of your cycle. So like while you're on your period or just finishing up your period, because they are dominant before ovulation, not after. And elevated levels can impact your ability to ovulate, and even elevated FSH levels can indicate diminished ovarian reserve, which if they're elevated when they're not supposed to be elevated, you often see very, very high, like triple, quadruple amounts of FSH in women that are approaching menopause. And it's often tested in those women to see how close to menopause they are. And this is my main list of the labs that I would suggest you get done when you are trying to consider getting pregnant. See, it's genuinely, this is nothing crazy. This is like basic. I mean, the craziest thing on here is the sex hormones. Everything else that I've listed is very basic in a comprehensive workup that I do on clients. So it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's nothing crazy here. Of course, there's other functional lab testing. Like if I get someone's blood work back and I see it's pretty wonky, there's a lot going on, and then they're also very symptomatic, I may then ask them to consider doing something like a GI map if we're not getting anywhere with their symptoms and whatnot. But this is pretty basic lab work to get. So where can you get labs done? One is your doctor. The thing with ordering through your doctor is you may or may not get all of these labs done. So you really have to advocate for yourself to get all of these labs done. Oftentimes, remember, our medical system is reactive, not proactive. So if you don't have a current problem or a current symptom, your doctor may not order this because there's nothing technically wrong at this time. So that is something that you should probably know going into this. And then also, because there's hormones on here, and then there's also thyroid hormones, your gyno does not really look at thyroid hormones and Hashimoto's, right? Your PCP may look at part of your thyroid, but not the whole thyroid, and you may need to go to an endocrinologist. Or your PCP may order everything, except they're not going to order sex hormones, and you have to go to your gyno to get the sex hormones. So that is something that I've seen where people have to kind of get half the labs with their PCP and then half the labs with their gyno, and then they're still end up missing a couple of the labs that I'm requesting. So that is something to note. However, if you want to go through your doctor and get insurance to cover it, then you can definitely go this route. The other route is ordering your own labs third party. So I have a link, I'll put it in the show notes, as well as it is linked in my Instagram and my TikTok bios. This is for a lab shop that I've partnered through a company called Rupa, so that you can order these labs on your own. You just go to the link, you go to where it says the blood testing, and then you pay for it and you order it, and then you get a requisition form to go to a lab corp near you to get your blood drawn. They send it off, and then you will get an email with your results 7 to 10 days later. So this is one option where you can go to my Rupa lab shop. You don't even have to talk to me. You can just go to the link, hit order, and purchase the labs. So it's very easy and makes it much more accessible to get these labs on your own. And then you could even take these labs to your doctor to review if you wanted, or you can, if you want to have a lab review in a more functional sense with what to do nutritionally, what to do lifestyle, what to do with your habits, lifestyle changes, and overall suggestions, targeted supplementation, you can then apply to have a functional lab review with me, where I go over your symptoms, what you're dealing with, what your goals are, what your results come back with, and look at it in a more holistic functional nutrition lens of what I would suggest you do to improve said markers. So you can definitely go order these without ever talking to me and like be on your merry way. But if you don't know how to look at labs and what those labs are, what they mean, if something comes back abnormal, that's where you either need to take them to your doctor or you can do a lab review with me. When you order through my lab shop, a lab review is not included. You would have to email me or message me on Instagram directly to sign up for a lab review. And that includes me giving you several symptom questionnaires to go over and fill out so that I have a full idea of what's going on, your goals, your health history, all of that. I look at your results and then I, like I said, give you nutrition plan, habit changes, lifestyle changes, suggestions, targeted supplementation, and we go over all of that on a 1-hour Zoom call. I am not a doctor. I am not a physician. I'm a functional nutritionist, and that is the lens that I look at this through. I cannot diagnose you or prescribe you any sort of medication. If you're looking for a diagnosis in the medical sense, or you are looking for a pharmaceutical approach, take them to your doctor, okay? I will say if you order through my lab shop, the labs are a little bit more expensive because Rupa adds several fees to the order. So if you know you want to go third party with labs and then you want to have me review those labs and pay for a lab review, you can contact me directly and I will help you order third party labs outside of Rupa through some other through like LabCorp and Quest directly. I don't order them. I help you order them yourself. And then it tends to be a little bit cheaper. And then you would also pay me my personal fee for a lab review through a functional lens, like I just mentioned. But if you do not want a lab review, you just want the labs, you do have to go through my lab shop to order them. I only help personally if you are going to sign up for or have signed up for a lab review session as well. Okay. So that is how you go about getting labs, a couple different options for you to do. Those are the labs that I recommend you get. You can also go to my Instagram page, and there is a post pinned to the top of my page with female lab work to ask for. All of these plus more are listed. I think there's like two or three more labs on there that I didn't go over today. But you can just take a screenshot of that, give it to your doctor and say, these are the labs that I would like to have, and go from there. Okay. So in the next coming weeks, I'm going to start bringing on guests. We have a pelvic floor specialist. We have a couple pelvic floor people coming on. We have a chiropractor coming on, and I have a couple guests lined up to discuss endometriosis, working on a PCOS guest. And then I'm also going to talk about like egg health and how to make sure that your eggs are actually healthy, as well as nutrition for preconception health. So make sure you come back. This season's probably my favorite, just because this is like what I'm working on myself to prep myself, because I want to start trying for kids in like 1 to 2 years. So I'm doing a lot of this work personally. So it's exciting for me to chat with you about it. And yeah, that's it for today. So make sure you come back tomorrow. Give this episode a 5-star if you found it helpful, and I'll see you next week. I would like to take a second to shout out one of my favorite show sponsors that we have here on the podcast, ClearStem Skincare. Okay, if you've been following me for a while, you know I have had quite a journey with acne. It's been my entire personality for a very long time, but I think it's very important for you to know before I continue speaking that I started using ClearStem products in 2020. I got my first like kit with two of their serums in their one of their face washes for Christmas in 2020, and started using it, and have incorporated a lot of their different products over the last 3 years. And then I just became affiliated with them at the end of 2023. Okay. So I have been using them for 3 years before I became affiliated with them. My journey. I was trying to use so many different clean products when I started learning about living non-toxic and just like how everything in this world is toxic. And I would try all these different holistic skincare products, but my skin was either getting worse, I noticed more clogged pores, or it just was not getting any better. And as somebody that has oily and acne prone skin, I realized something that was in a lot of these products that I wasn't very happy with, and that was poor clogging ingredients. Things like olive oil, for example, or coconut oil. And then there's a whole plethora of other ingredients that I don't even know how to pronounce their names, that when I started using ClearStem products, when I was looking at their website, they have this section on their website where you can actually type in the ingredient list of the products you're using, and they will tell you if any of their flagged ingredients that are pore cloggers show up. And what do you know? Everything I was using, granted it wasn't toxic, wasn't going to give me cancer, it was just going to clog my pores and give me more acne, larger pores, more irritation, and more redness, and more blackheads, because there was ingredients that were clogging my pores. Okay. So if you have acne prone skin, you really need to avoid pore clogging ingredients. So what happens is the active ingredients in the product you're using are going to go into your pores to do the work that they're designed to do. But then those filler ingredients that tend to be where the clogging ingredients are, is in the fillers, that's going to follow the active ingredients and stay in your pore to then clog it. And then it's going to be deep down in there. And then it's just more and more acne, more oil, larger pores, more issues. Okay. So you need to check your products. Go to ClearStem's website, type in you can go and copy and paste from your own skincare's product website, copy the ingredients, paste it into ClearStem's website, see if it's safe or not, see if anything lights up. And if you need to replace some of your items, I highly recommend literally anything on the ClearStem website. 95% of my skincare routine is ClearStem. Currently, my favorite products, now that it is warmer and I'm not having to do so much damage repair from over-treating my skin, is I've been using the Clarity Blackhead Dissolver. I will use the sulfur spot mask. You can wear that as a mask in your T-zone if you have more oily skin, or you can use it as on closed pimples, like cystic pimples, or ones that are not open to reduce redness and inflammation. And then I use the HydraGlow moisturizer. When I was really focusing on my repairing moisture and just my skin barrier, I was using the No Botox Serum, and I was using their Hydra Berry Moisturizer, which did wonders. I used those in tandem for several months, and my skin was literally glowing for the longest time. So now I'm doing a little bit of a different routine as I move into this next season of my skincare. So use code Leslie for 15% off at checkout, both to save money, but also to support your girl. I really appreciate those of you that do use my codes when shopping for products. It does put a little bit of commission into my pocket. I promise you, it's not a ton. I get like 10% off the sale as commission. So it's not a lot, but my husband and I, we are trying to move cross country to be closer to family so we can start our own family and buy our first house. We've never had a house before, and we're trying to do that this year. So any little bit helps. So using my code while trying some really amazing products that I swear I've been using since before I was affiliated with them would just makes me so happy. So get some clear sun and let me know if you like it.